Blog Talk Radio.
Shem Alek Ma Yilama Shem Ahezah Yilama Son Hashem Nevorat Fet Hakuig Again Ma Yilama Shem Alek
appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of the Police and Fire Services, the first responders, and the doctors and nurses in the fight against COVID, and of course, there's wonderful people in the supermarkets that keep the shelves stocked during the pandemic. I can't get those teeth in email anymore. I got to go buy my own. Tonight, we wanted to start off, first of all, wishing everybody a very merry and happy St. Patty's Day. But remember, please remember the one thing. If you're going to drive, don't drink. If you're going to drink, don't drive. Don't put yourself or anybody else in peril. We appreciate it. We love each and every one of our listeners. We want them here each and every week. That makes everybody feel great. How you doing, Tom?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. Just waiting for the other boys to join us. Caden is working, but he's going to try and join us on his at lunch hour. I haven't heard from Z or Ty, but Bob is taking a hiatus. I don't know if you knew that or not. His work schedule has changed. In fact, he sent me a text about 2 hours ago that his alarm had just gone off. To get ready for the show, but he's at work, He said they've already changed. It was supposed to be off Thursday and Friday, and now they've changed it back up to Monday and Tuesday. And he says he doesn't know how long it's going to take, but he hopes it's going to be soon because his wife is very upset.
You know, well, what's the real reason?
Yeah.
I think he's starting to get prepared because he and I were supposed to go at it in the ring here soon. He's probably starting to get ready.
He's probably scared. Yeah, you probably scared him off.
I think I did, actually.
Well, your baking skills certainly have him worried. That's for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's definitely terrified of my pudding.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's two people that one has been a road warrior with us for the last 4 or 5 years, who's really in bad health, and we're going to ask you for prayers for him, and that's former Philadelphia Eagles linebacker Bill Berge. Bill is a tremendous person, a great, great person, does a lot for the Philadelphia area, for people in general, not just the businesses, but as a very personal person. The other guy is Mark Coleman. Mark is a retired UFC fighter who was awakened one night last week by his dog barking and found out that his house was on fire. Mark got his elderly mother out and then ran back in to get his father out. Thank God he was able to get both of them out before the house was totally engulfed in flames. He went back to try to get his dog, and that's when he got third-degree burns on his arms and his face, and he was not too good a shape there for about 3 or 4 days. But now I'm told that he's awake, he's talking, and the first thing he said is, "Thank God I got my mother and father out." So that's two heroes that we have to put down in our book. Bill is a close friend. I knew him back up in Philadelphia. In fact, my daughter Kathleen graduated from Concord High School in 1988, and we went down to lunch at a restaurant right around where we lived, and Bill was always in there, and he came over and sat down, and he talked to her about graduation and what she wanted to do, and he really was gave her a real boost for that day. And then as he got up, he took the check and said, "Casey, that's my graduation present to you." And she never forgot that. So Bill, I know you're listening, and Mary, you're two great people, and we're praying for you. All right. Well, I hate to ask this question. Mike Tyson have you seen the new film that he put new? I guess it's a trailer that he put out of his training for this fight with Jake Paul.
Oh yeah, I tell you what, too. They everybody thought it was an exhibition, but they are in the process of finding this to be a real match and. Mike still looks like he did back in 1990.
I was going to say he looks faster. I thought he was faster. He's lighter than he was in 90, but he is. He looked like he really is faster than I remember him. I think
I'll tell you what, he is going to absolutely destroy Jake Paul. There's no way it could be any other way. Jake Paul is going out on a stretcher, and that's 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, I'm sure of that. It's supposedly signed for May, the latter part of May. So we're getting close to that. But there's not going to be any question once the two of them get in the middle of that ring. I mean, I'm predicting between a 30-second and by the end of the first round that he'll have him out of there.
I think the first punch that he lands on Jake Paul, I don't think Jake Paul's going to make it. You know, at first everybody was saying it's an exhibition and this, that, and Jake probably paid him off, but it was flat out discussed. I saw it yesterday that they were signing to make this the real deal and not an exhibition. So if that happens, I'm absolutely just, it's just get your popcorn out and start laughing because Jake Paul's going to get messed up on this one.
Oh, yeah. It's a good thing it's for big money. He's going to need it for rehab.
Oh, he's going to need that for broken everything. I mean, I would take a shot from Tyson for several mil, but at this point, I mean, Jake Paul's got millions. I don't know why he's going to try to do this. He doesn't even see the chance, so.
No. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. You know, another fight that's on tonight is Haney versus Paul. What's your thoughts on that one?
I'm predicting Haney's going to get knocked out.
Whoa.
Yep.
Man.
I don't think he's going to make this one. I mean, I could be wrong, but I'll tell you what, I predict if he catch up to Haney, he's going to knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
And again,
you know,
like I've said before, I'm not a big Haney fan. I don't think he's that good. I mean, I shouldn't say it because he has a title and he's proven, you know, that last fight he had, I had to give it to him. I mean, he did a fantastic job in that one, but I still just don't think he's fought the right people. And as he gets closer to fighting the big, big, big dogs, I just don't see him keeping the title.
Right, right. You know, an interesting fight that went on last week, not too long ago, Anthony Joshua came on the scene with a guy by the name of Joseph Parker, and they were, you know, they were coming up pretty good, evenly matched with different people, but Parker seemed to fall off the radar there after a couple of major losses, and now he had a comeback fight last night over Zilly Zhang. And even though he got knocked down twice, he got back up and did take the WBO interim title. Do you know anything about that one?
Oh, I watched that one. Yeah, it was definitely a close fight, but he bagged Zhang up pretty much the whole fight. I've always been under the impression Zhang was just one of these guys that'll come at you just swinging and, you know, knock you out and beat the hold of you. But Joseph Parker did a fantastic job, and I was a little unsure at the end who was going to win it. I was leaning to Parker, but I thought for sure there's no way they're going to take Zhang's title from him if it's that close, but they did, and I was glad to see it.
Yeah, the other fight that happened this week was Ray Vargas and Nick Ball. I never thought Vargas would go 12 rounds to take somebody out. And he didn't really take him out because it ended up with a split decision. So he retains his WBC title. But that, again, was another fight that I wasn't sure that was going to go the whole time.
If I'm not mistaken, I think Vargas really lost that fight, but that split decision was kind of screwed up. I mean, you had two judges that were, you know, kind of apart for the most part, and then you had one dead even like that. And I thought Vargas lost it personally, but there'll be a rematch. That was a good fight. A very good fight.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out again. Come on, stupid things. Where to go? What was going to happen on that one? But I'm happy to see that we were able to get him back on track.
Now, I'll tell you, the one that hurt me was seeing Anthony Joshua take out Nagato like that. I didn't think that was going to happen. But that may have been the punch knockout of the year right there. And I mean, as much as I'm not a Joshua fan, he did what he had to do. And I still can't believe he did it, but God bless him, because I'll tell you what, Nagano needed oxygen and he was sitting on that mat for about 10 minutes.
Yeah, he did. I wasn't really sure that they were going to get him off that without a stretcher, because he really did take a ass whipping, as they say in the vernacular.
Yeah, I mean, if you watched it in slow motion, he was actually out before he even hit the canvas.
Yep, yep. Sort of reminded me of the Fury fight where Fury went out on the way down, but then all of a sudden his eye just opened up, and he jumped up and won the fight. But Ngannou fight, there was no question. He went down and stayed down.
Yeah, that's
smart of him.
That hurt me. I hated to see that. I wanted to see Ngannou.
Yeah.
Fight here for a year or two, fight some really big shots, and I think that one just hurt him real bad. So
mm-hmm.
He claims he's coming back to fight again, though.
Yep. And here we are with our especially technical expert, Mr. Z. How you doing tonight, Z?
Oh, I'm absolutely wonderful. I hear Tony on here. How you doing today, Tony?
Good, sir. How you doing, bud?
I'm absolutely wonderful, and I'm glad that you're here, because I heard y'all talking about the Ngannou and Joshua fight.
Right.
I heard the tail end of it, and I didn't hear. What do you think about that, totally, Tony?
We got to hand it to Joshua. He knocked out a big dude and put him out flat. I mean, I'm not a Joshua fan, but you know what? I'm not going to take it away from him. He did what he had to do, and he put that man on the mat and needed oxygen for 10 minutes. So, hated to see it.
I'm going to concur with Tony. What I'm going to say is this. Joshua knocked out a very raw amateur boxer. And if he went to the Olympics at a heavyweight, he's going to get chopped down by an Olympic heavyweight boxer. He met Tyson Fury, and as I said before, and Tony was on here, I said that Tyson Fury, he's a guy who's going to spar with him. He's going to play with him. Anthony Joshua mentally is not capable of doing that. Physically, if you're not mentally capable of it, you're not physically going to do it. He's not a play around guy. Like, when he spars, I'm going to tell you now, Tyson Fury, he's going to spar. He can go light. He can go heavy. He's a guy, and I'm not saying he's more talented. Well, he is more talented than Joshua, but that is not the reason what happened with Ngannou. With Tyson Fury, he didn't take it serious. He took it like a sparring session, not even a hard sparring session. Anthony Joshua does not know how to do that. And when I said he's going to go in there, he's not going to play with him, he went in there and he didn't play. And what I saw was a high-level professional boxer against a low-level amateur boxer. And unfortunately, they're heavyweights. Well, you know what? I'm going to retract that. More fortunately that they're heavyweights, because it happened fast instead of him getting beat up for rounds. I'm good with what happened, just because Ngannou, you get knocked out. I mean, they're going to do CTE and the MRIs, make sure your brain's right. We're good. As long as his brain's right, then we can move on. Now, as far as Ngannou's future, as I said, last week, he's an older guy, so I don't know what his future in boxing is going to be, because that's a learning thing, as we saw. You have to learn that through years.
Right.
And as Kaden alluded to, he's on contract, still with the – I forget what the name is for UFC, for mixed martial arts. And he has a substantial amount of millions doing that. So he has avenues to do things with. So, really, it doesn't hurt him, because he's still going into his 40s, he still has a way to make money. And that's
sure.
Really, literally why he left the UFC, just to make money.
Great. Hey, we're joined by our film director and producer,
Ty, how you doing tonight?
Doing well, man. Glad to be home resting. Hope everyone is well. It's good to hear from you guys.
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Hey, bro.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We were talking earlier about Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, and they're about that's coming up. I don't know. Have you seen the trailer that they put out with Tyson? How fast he's gotten?
No, I'm purposely. Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, when it comes to Jake Paul, Mike Tyson, I am purposefully avoiding any of that stuff. I'm not reading articles.
Ooh.
I'm not watching videos. I have no interest in this. I'm sure Bob has probably spoken on Jake Paul.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to bring a lot of eyes. It's a boxing premiere event on Netflix. Netflix is going into boxing. So, you know, from a standpoint of the sport that we love, it's great that Netflix is opening its doors, but this is not representative of the sport that we love.
Mm-hmm.
So I really don't have too much to say about it, actually.
Hey, Ty, it was initially supposed to be an exhibition, but I guess they are signing papers this week for it to be a full-fledged fight with no exhibition whatsoever.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
100%
yeah,
serious.
So Mike Tyson and Jake Paul are going to go full-fledged?
Yeah.
Full-fledged, brother. It is on.
That can't be real. That cannot be real, really sanctioned. You know what? It can be just because on paper it can be. In reality, Lord have mercy. That's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
And on paper,
yep.
Yes, it can. You could say this guy's this old and, you know, he's this and this guy is, he's that dog, big and tall. And he, in reality, we're talking about fighting. We're not talking about mm-hmm. dunking. We're not talking about who could jump higher, who could dribble a ball better and get around a person. We're talking about who's going to in a fight. They cannot. You can't be serious with this. If they are, then
yeah.
All right. Well, I'm done talking.
They're signing
done,
the papers
I'm done
to make
I'm
it official.
I'm done talking until the time comes. I will say, as my brother usually does, I will reserve my opinion. Lord have mercy.
this is one of those where I have to reserve my opinion and keep it to myself. I just really, I don't have anything much to say about.
All right, well, we have another one coming up which should spark some interest. It'd be Lomachenko versus Gambosa. What do you think,
that's
Cody?
An easy one. That's all right. Lomachenko.
All right, Ty.
Yeah, that Lomachenko would have to be shot. I mean, completely shot for Gambosa to beat him, and I don't think he's at that point yet. So I like him. I honestly like him in a clear decision win. If he gets a stoppage, I expect Kambosos to retire at the end of the fight, honestly, just because that's about it for him. He's maximized his career. He really has. I give him that. Kudos for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if you heard.
Frank.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead. I'll get with you.
No, go ahead.
I wanted to touch back with that Vargas fight before the boys got on here. Did you see that fight at all?
Yeah.
Which fight?
The Vargas and Nick Paul.
No. What happened?
Nick Paul is the next Isaac Cruz. He absolutely took Vargas. Vargas, really, as far as I'm concerned, I think Vargas lost that fight. And Nick Paul looked exactly like what Isaac Cruz did, went right in on him, backed him up constantly. Vargas did not know what was going on. Vargas got beat up pretty bad, but they did a split decision on it. But it didn't appear that way to me. I mean, it looked like Isaac Cruz Jr. right there in the ring.
You're high on Isaac Cruz, so you think that? Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to like you're high on Isaac Cruz. Isaac Cruz. And
Isaac.
Isaac Cruz. And how do you think he's going to do against Riley?
Oh, he's going to knock Riley out. Riley doesn't even stand a chance on this fight.
Okay. Why do you think that? I want to hear your breakdown, if you don't mind.
This is just my words here, my opinion, but when he fought Tank, he hit Tank with some pretty hard shots. He backed Tank up the entire fight. He goes forward. He don't go back. He ain't scared none. He even took a couple licks from Tank, and it didn't even faze him. Mm-hmm. And I know everybody's got their opinion on that fight. I still think Isaac won that fight overall. But you saw what Tank did to Raleigh. That was an easy one to Tank. And I don't think Raleigh's really a good fighter personally. I think he's just all mouth. And when you got Isaac going after him, which you know he's going to do, he's going to back him up. And I get in his face, and I think it's going to be no more than a 4 rounds before he's knocked out.
Oh, you're saying before round 5 is over, you're saying he's going to do Raleigh.
That's what I think.
Wow. I'm going to tell you one thing that Raleigh has going for him. Raleigh is going to come in the ring substantially bigger than Isaac. And Raleigh, one thing he also is, he's live. You have to be sharp. If Raleigh doesn't have anything really sharp in front of him, it's going to be a hell of a fight. Izzy, he can be sharp, but he's a brawler. He's more of an inside fighter. Raleigh is more of a brawler. A brawler usually needs a chin open a bit more, but they usually can navigate space a bit better. Raleigh is pretty good and pretty heavy-handed while navigating space. His problem is he's not as educated as Isaac. This fight to me is going to come down to conditioning because Isaac's going to hit him. I just think that Raleigh's going to be big enough to take it, and Isaac's just going to be not sharp enough to get him out of there. I think if Isaac has a gas tank better than Raleigh, he is going to end up beating Raleigh up. If their gas tanks match, we're gonna be looking at a hell of a fight. That's all I'm gonna say.
It's gonna be a good one. I don't know. I just don't see it going past 4. He went all the rounds with Tank, and it didn't even seem to even bother him. I mean, the kid was still going right at Tank in round 12 like it was nothing. So I just don't think Raleigh's got what it takes to beat him.
Well, I'm gonna give it like this too. Tank, they face two different versions of Tanks, and I'm gonna legitimately say because I rewatched that fight like two more times, and it did look like Tank's arm was injured when he fought Isaac. It looked like his arm was injured and he couldn't pull the trigger like that. With Rowley, that just was you want to come at me? Why? It was a better version of Ryan Garcia to the face.
Right.
That's what Raleigh, him and Raleigh was. That's what that was. It looked like he was legitimately hurt when he fought Isaac. If they fought a second time, I don't think Tank could finish him. I just think Tank would win. I think he would be better enough to slow Isaac down. If Isaac and Tank fought, I think Tank could be able to slow him down so his work rate, he wouldn't be able to do what he wants to do on the inside because it's going to hurt too much. And, you know, everybody's human. He's capable of being knocked out if he goes in there. Him and Raleigh is all about the gas tank to me. That's all.
I know everybody wants to see that rematch. I want to see it. Tank and Isaac.
I would like to see it.
I don't know. I just want to see it. I just think everybody wants to see that one over again.
What do you think about Devin? Oh, I'm sorry. What do you think about Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia?
Personally, I think Ryan Garcia is going to knock him out.
Mm.
That, if he could catch him with a shot, I don't think he's going to be able to take it.
My thing is this. If Tank is not Tank, if Devin is 160 and up, he's going to take it. I think he's capable, and he's going to have to hit Devin really clean, and I think he's going to hit him clean with other things just because he's going to stick around long enough. Devin's not going to get him out of there. I just see Devin starting to control stuff around, like round two. I see Devin getting a beat on him early, and adaptability. Devin is highly adaptable, and against a person who's proven to be non-adaptable. Now, here's what I'm going to say. There's been a lot of stuff with Ryan Garcia in social media, and he looks like he's, you know, he has some things that look like he's unstable. I think that's a lure. I think that's a little bit of a lure. That, you know, everybody wants to think he's unstable. I think he's trying to get a hook for this fight, a little edge for this fight. And that means that, to me, that's as confident as Ryan Garcia is, I don't think he's that confident going into this fight. Something's telling me that he's not confident. He's chasing the big money, but he's looking at a guy who's really good. And you just think mentally he might not be able to deal with it. I think he realizes that.
I don't
that,
see Haney knocking Garcia out. Thing.
Oh, hell.
If AB wins it, I think he'll be beating Garcia up 12 rounds.
I could see him beating Garcia up into a stoppage. And that is because when you deal with that high level of talent if Ryan Garcia hasn't tried to progress or he's still that raw where he only has a left hook and he only tries to rely on it, he's going to get beat up to a stoppage by soft hand Devin Haney. Or soft hand, big body Devin Haney. If Devin Haney comes in 160 plus, I'm going to predict a stoppage. Fight night, when they come in the ring, if he's 160 plus, I'm going to predict a stoppage. Ryan is not hard to the body. Devin Haney is very pillow fisted until it comes to the body. He reminds me of a little bit sharper. You know what? Not even. He reminds me of a little more outside boxer, Tim Bradley. They have different skills, but they are just kind of the same guy to me. Him and Tim Bradley, Tim Bradley is tougher and all that. Devin Haney has more outside boxing skills. Stay away from the danger. Tim Bradley didn't mind coming to the danger. But these guys, they hit hard. They're for some reason, they don't touch you hard to the face, but they'll kill you to the body. They'll wear you out to the body. Devin Haney's one of those guys. Andre Ward, one of those guys.
No, I don't want to go against you because every time I do, I eat a shit sandwich, so I'm probably going to believe you on this one, but still...
Oh, don't worry.
Still gonna,
If
Ryan can get in there and get one of those liver shots, those body shots, if he get one of those in, I think he's going to hurt Haney, but I don't know. We'll see. It's going to be a good fight regardless.
Oh, yeah. I can see him buckling. I can see Haney doing some neat things. I can see him even putting Haney down. I just think he's not sharp enough to capitalize off of anything he does to Haney. I just think that's what's going to end up happening. That's my opinion.
I give Haney credit.
Don't
that
worry,
last I'll fight, be, he looked really good.
Yeah. He used his feet a little bit more. I'll say that.
Still with us, Frank?
Yep, I pulled a Bob there. I was on mute. I was worried about you there. Yeah, I'm old, but I didn't fall asleep yet.
I thought maybe you were making one of them sandwiches.
I'm sorry?
Yeah, I wasn't getting fitted for one of your friends' outfits either, Tony. What do you think about Canelo Alvarez and Jaime Munguia? Nate Seth.
He should beat Jaime Munguia. Munguia has improved quite a bit, but outside of his youth and height, meaning height and range, he doesn't have any advantages over Canelo. He's still very open. He has learned to box better. He tries to roll with punches a little bit more. But for him to get his offense off against Canelo, he's literally going to be extremely vulnerable based on his style and skill set. He hasn't really met too many punches that he hasn't liked. And Canelo is going to have several for him. I don't know if Canelo will be able to get a stoppage at this point in time in his career. Munguia has proven to be tough and durable. Canelo is going to hit him cleanly a lot. But with that said, I don't know if his gas tank at this stage of his career will be allow him to string together the offense he needs to get a guy like Munguia out. But he wins a clear decision. If he doesn't win a clear decision, I personally think he's, I've said this for a few fights now, that, he's no longer at his peak. He's no longer in his prime. He's at, the tail end of his peak. And I feel that if Munguia causes him any type of significant issues, it'll just show you more and more why the Benavidez fight's not being made, because Canelo's smart enough to see what we see, that he is actually declining. So, but with that said, stylistically, nothing about outside of youth and height and range, there's no attribute that Munguia has that should allow him to overtake a Canelo Alvarez at this stage of his career.
Okay. Dustin Poirier had a wonderful time with Benoit Saint Denis last week. What did you think of that fight?
Anytime two fighters fight, I don't know if I'll call it a wonderful time, but I mean, I didn't see that. Dustin Poirier, he still has it. I didn't see the fight.
Yeah.
I read a little bit about it, and from what I'm gauging, Dustin Poirier still has it.
Uh-huh.
As I say, nobody beats time, and I did want to speak on the Canelo Jaime Munguia thing.
Go ahead.
When we talk
about
nobody beats time, this fight depends on Canelo. It really honestly depends on Canelo, because he has the perfect opponent for two things. For him, to style-wise, Benavidez and Jaime Munguia are different, although very similar. They both Jaime Munguia is more highly active. He's more highly active and open, but they're big guys who kind of cross the same punches. Benavidez is a little more educated, and Jaime's more active with it. But they're the same guy to a degree. They are defensively, they're hittable, but you every time, if you want to hit them, you're traversing danger. You're going through no man's land, and they throw that artillery. So you have to be careful getting at them. The thing is this. Jaime Munguia is going to give Canelo all the opportunity to knock him out. His reach is a detriment. In this fight, Jaime Munguia's reach is a detriment. His activity is a detriment. What's not a detriment is his lungs in this fight. His attribute in this fight are his lungs. That is his only advantage, and his major advantage. People say he's bigger and this and that longer. No, that's going to play against him. His lungs are going to play with him. If he's going to eat, because he's going to eat clean, but if he can eat clean and survive to my ground and still be active around 6 or 7, we're going to have a heck of a fight. From maybe six on, if he's still active, we are going to have a circus. Because Canelo, when it's time to breathe, and if Jaime's still there, Canelo's not going to be able to do that. He's not going to be able to relax if Jaime's there. Many opponents, they do traditional boxing to where you can throw them down. You can hit him with certain shots to slow him down. Jaime Munguia does not believe in that.
He doesn't get neutered. He doesn't get neutered.
He does not get neutered. So if Canelo can't, he's not going to slow him down. If he, what I think is, when you beat anybody up, they have to slow down. He's going to have to beat Jaime up. He's not going to get him out of there one shot. Now, I think Canelo is well capable of stopping Jaime. I think, like, Canelo, if he wanted to, he'd get Jaime out by round 8. I don't think that he wants to exert himself doing that because he has other fights lined up ahead. When you put yourself out there like that, you're going to receive. I think he could take his time with Jaime and win the decision. If he wants to get Jaime out of there, I think he's going to risk damage with future fights because Canelo's getting older, and every nip and tuck, that's going to make a difference in the next fight. Jaime's a nip and tuck guy. As I say, if Canelo can't beat him up, he's not going to slow him down. Beat him up and get him out of there, we're going to have an active fight. I'm picking for Canelo to beat him up because he's going to have to. That's my thing right there. He's going to have to.
I hear that. Go ahead, let's hear it.
No, I absolutely agree with Zero. No, I'm absolutely disagreeing. I absolutely agree with everything Zito said. Like, Jaime is not a come-lay-down guy. He's not a guy who acquiesces to clinches. A guy who's deterred. You know what I mean? He's not a guy who's deterred. He's a guy against the right guy who can get beat up. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And
right.
Canelo is still – yeah, if Canelo's still Canelo – you know, even the Canelo that's, in my opinion, you know, somewhat diminished by wear and tear, he can beat Jaime Munguia up even if he doesn't get him out of there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if he doesn't beat Jaime, like what he can't John Ryder Jaime Munguia. He can't Gennady Golovkin him. What he's got to do is beat Jaime Munguia up to the point where Jaime Munguia's, where he's completely depleted as he's still attacking. That's what he has to do. You know what I mean?
Jaime
because
has
he's
to
not
be on
going
the back
to
foot. He has to be on the back foot to a degree.
Yeah. What he has to do is essentially he has to be a honey badger. You know what I mean? Every time Jaime Munguia jumps on him, he scares him back off. That's what he's going to have to do if he doesn't stop Jaime Munguia. Because what happens is if he can't scare Jaime Munguia off, if he can't at least back him off, and then it could get ugly. Because Jaime Munguia is a downhill fighter, and he doesn't get deterred. But Canelo can make him hit him hard enough and hit him with enough combinations to make him reset and reassess. That's the way he beats him. What he can't do is he can't paint by numbers against Jaime Munguia and try to outbox him. You can't. He's going to make you fight.
And what I'm going to say is this. I don't know, like, I'm going to say this much. I don't think he has to damage Jaime Munguia. Jaime Munguia is not going to mentally reset. He has to physically damage Jaime Munguia and lay smoke on him to the point to where Jaime Munguia, like, he's not even going, like, you can't, like, your body thinks with your brain when it gets to a certain point. Like, you know, I always tell fighters, your mind tells your body what to do. You get beat up enough, your body starts telling your mind, we don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Or when we do it, we react different. We're defensive. We may still put foot pressure on, but now, and the problem with that is Canelo's good at opening you up when you're not punching. So if Jaime stops punching, it's going to get worse. When Jaime punches, it's going to be clean. So, I mean, what I see is Canelo being on – he has to beat Jaime up to the point to where Canelo's kind of on the front foot controlling shit. If Canelo's on the back foot after round 5, we're going to have an exciting fight. As simple as that. Canelo is taking that the breath he did with Gennady Golovkin, the breath he does with Gennady Golovkin.
Oh, the first Triple G fight, you mean? Oh, he can't do that.
Oh, yeah.
He can't do that.
No.
He can't. He doesn't have the same lungs as the first Triple G fight, you know what I mean? And second of all,
but
he's got a guy who's going to keep punching.
He can't pace himself like he did any of the fights against Triple G because he's fighting would you say, a downhill fighter. A guy who doesn't stop unless you make him stop, unless you physically damage him to stop him. Jaime does not mentally stop at all. He's going to do what he's going to do unless you make him physically stop.
If Triple G doesn't like the incoming, then he goes to his jab because he has a great stick. If Jaime doesn't like the incoming, if Jaime doesn't like the incoming, he ups his outcoming. That's what he does.
Jaime's not going to diversify anything.
No, the fight with he and Sergey Derevchenko nipped it to life and death. Because Derevchenko, first of all, I believe has better, stamina than Canelo. But Derevchenko,
his conditioning is good.
Yeah. But what he was doing was beating Jaime Munguia off of him and pushing Jaime Munguia back and stunning Jaime Munguia. You have to, and he still lost, but that's what you have to do. You have to constantly be punishing Jaime Munguia. Simple as that. If you're not punishing him, then if you're not punishing him,
Derevchenko
and you're not
that footwork of Derevchenko, he was standing, he was side to side.
That's
and,
a difference
ripping
too.
Off on him.
Yeah, that's
his footwork
Canelo's,
was a little liver. I can't say
Canelo's
better.
Footwork,
it was liver though.
No, Canelo's footwork he's not as light on his feet, but he rips more meaningful combinations than Derevchenko. Yeah, no. But he's going to rip combinations on that fight's going to be, if you like boxing, that's a fight to watch because however it goes, I think you'll be laughing. That's how I look at
it. Not only that, it's a style thing. And
that's why you'll be laughing.
I don't expect anybody to make it to the round. So I don't if it's a decision, I kind of Canelo. He was either able to damage that guy to make it to kind of get his breaks, get his lung breaks, or we might have a controversy on our hands.
I think he's going to damage him enough to get his lung breaks.
I think so, too.
Let me ask you another one. Let's start with Tony. Joe Joyce versus Cash Alley.
Joe Joyce versus who?
Cash Alley. Muhammad.
I'm not real familiar with Alley.
Most people don't. And Butch, do you know the result of that fight by chance?
No, I don't.
Okay, good. I got to tell you. Hey, Butch, do me a favor. Never text me the result of a fight because a lot of times I'm working. So, I'm watching these fights on replay at 2 o'clock in the morning, so I never want the results to a fight. Cash Ali actually fought Joe Joyce today. It was Joe Joyce's return. He was he was actually on the undercard. I forget who the main event was. It wasn't a super popular main event, but Joe Joyce returned on the undercard. I am going to go watch that fight after we get off the show. That's why I asked you about to give you the result. But Cash Ali, for those of you who don't know, Cash Ali is really only famous for
it.
Do you guys remember the British heavyweight David Price, who was an Olympian?
Yep.
But
he
came up to pros and got knocked out. Cash Ali had a fight with David Price, and he bit David Price. That's what Cash Ali is most well known for. For biting David Price. So he was picked as Joe Joyce's comeback opponent. So I don't know who won. I would imagine Joe Joyce to win unless Zhang really cracked his chin. But, yeah, that's who he was coming back against. That's what Cash Ali is most known for, his antics.
Hey, Z, what do you think of Oscar Valdez and Liam Wilson? That's tonight, too.
Oscar Valdez, you know what? I always like Oscar Valdez. I don't know too much about Liam Wilson, but I always like Oscar Valdez.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting no older. No, what? Nah. Oscar's what? I'm getting the wrong Valdez.
No, it's funny, Zito.
Nah.
No, right, but no,
Oscar's
it
not.
Feels like he's getting older, right? Yeah, it does, because he's been around
for a
little bit.
He's been there
still
for
young.
A minute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's still,
there for a minute. And he has, you know what? He's Oscar's not a guy who's going to shy away from contact, so... Oscar, he's good. He's a good boxer, but he's not like a slick boxer all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like he doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
Even when you're young, you go to war like that. I think you get older, Fernando Vargas. I'm thinking guys are like that. So. I always like Oscar Valdez. I always like to see him fight.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess we've kind of covered a lot of these things here. Joseph Parker has come back. Maybe not in he isn't like he was in his prime when he first came on with when it was always talked about Joseph Parker and Anthony Joshua. They seem to come up at the same time. He hasn't risen like Joshua has, but he did have a pretty decent fight this last week here. What do you think of that one?
You know what? It's funny. I watched the fight, and Joseph Parker won the fight. And I thought he would win the fight. I didn't think he would necessarily get dropped twice, but I did think he would win the fight.
Maybe.
The reason why I thought he'd be able to beat Big Bang Zhang is just because Big Bang Zhang, who now is at the age of 40, but regardless of his age, he just cannot fight 12 hard rounds at all. He can't fight six hard rounds.
Right.
He can't fight a hard round. And that's just whatever he one thing about him. Yeah, whenever he lets his hands go, he's the best guy in the ring. He is just not capable of it. And one thing about Joseph Parker is Joseph Parker knows how to move. He's educated in there, and he's too durable to get out with one shot. So for me, that was just a bad style matchup in a sense for Big Bang Zhang, who though is literally one of the most dangerous guys out there. With that said, I think what people forget about Joseph Parker, we were just talking about the same thing with Oscar Valdez. Joseph Parker is the young guy of the division, not including Jared, the younger Big Baby Anderson, like 25, and, you know, Daniel Dubois, who's like 25, 26. But Joseph Parker, when you talk about Anthony Joshua, he did. He came up with Anthony Joshua, Deontay Wilder, Andy Ruiz. He's part of that era of heavyweights. But, you know, he's younger than those guys. Tyson Fury's 34, 35. Joshua's approaching 34, 35. Joseph Parker just turned like 30. He's like 31, I think. Joseph Parker is young, and he's been around for a while. He rose early, then he kind of fell a little bit, looked like he plateaued. And, you know, now he's had two very notable wins. So I don't think he's a guy you can count out, just because one thing I dig about Joseph Parker is he's always been learning. He's always been getting better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he'll ever beat the top heavyweights. I do think for him there is a ceiling when it comes to what he can accomplish in the heavyweight division. He's already won a world title. He was a world champion at one time. But I don't think he'll ever beat the top elite guys. But, you know, he's this era's Joe Corey. You know what I mean? Or somebody like that. You know?
Jerry Corey.
Like, Yeah, Jerry Corey. Yep, he's literally this era's Jerry Corey, where he's good enough to be a good fight, against the top guys, but he just kind of can't beat them. And every now and then he may lose to somebody who's, a tier below the top guys. He's literally, to me, this era's Jerry Corey. He'll grow, but he'll never be the best guy of this era or any era, I believe.
I have to disagree a little bit. I think he's grown past Jerry Corey stage, just because.
Okay.
Right now, nobody but the top guys going.
Okay, he's Oscar Benavida. He's Oscar Benavida. Ringo was hell, man.
Oscar Benavida was hell, bro.
Yeah.
He's tough as a man.
I wouldn't put him in Oscar Benavida category. Yeah, Oscar Benavida was hell.
Yeah. That's a little different there. Here's one thing. Joe Parker's tough for nowadays. Not going to go toe-to-toe with Joe Frazier.
And drop him twice.
He's not going to go to toe-to-toe now with Joe Frazier. I mean, Joe Frazier, that's we're talking levels with this.
Wow.
We're talking levels.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Tony, what do you think about Jessica McCaskill fighting Lauren Price in May?
Won't be one I'll be watching.
There you go. Ty?
McCaskill's been on a good little roll, and I expect her to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
But she's been kind of hot lately. So and I'm not as familiar with Lauren Price, but McCaskill's become a ticket seller, and she's been on a roll. So I expect the money train to continue. And kudos to women's boxing, right? Women's boxing has been booming lately, and a lot of times. Consistently, their fights are extremely competitive. So, kudos.
Mm-hmm. One thing is, and I'm going to say, you've been hearing McCaskill's name for a minute. Age.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying the same thing about Clarissa Shields. Clarissa Shields, and I said this last week, Clarissa Shields.
Clarissa Shields is 28. Yeah, Clarissa Shields is only 28. I think with Clarissa Shields, like, I don't know if you watched her. I don't know if you guys talked about her fight in PFL. And Zito, just to let you know, that's the same organization that the guy who's fighting in PFL. So I don't know if you guys broke down her last fight in PFL. She won the decision. But I don't know if you saw the arm bar that she got put in. I think Bob would be proud of her ability to escape. Oh, my God. I was like, she ain't going to box no more. She ain't going to box no more. Because it looked like the girl was very like take it off, and kudos and credit to Clarissa, she did escape and she was able to win a close decision. But she's only 28, she's absolutely in her athletic prime. However, the damage you can take in an MMA fight, man. Again, I saw that armbar and I was like, "Oh, that's just for boxing for a minute." Seriously.
I'm going to say this though. Even the damage,
and it's adding to her wear and tear. It's adding to her wear and tear as well.
Because in boxing, her style is not to avoid punches. Clarissa is very athletic and she's good. She likes to get at you. That's her boxing style. Mm-hmm. Clarissa has been hit by very clean, sharp boxing punches.
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep doing like that style she has. You can't run over everybody. And it's going to come a point in time where she's going to meet somebody who's going to be her size, or just sharp enough to where that's not going to work.
It's going to slow down
a little bit.
She's beating all
those punches, all that war. By the time she turns 30, she might not be what she could be. And I don't want to say it that way, but when you receive damage, 2 years worth of damage, and Clarissa's active. She's extremely active. She wants to fight everything. I'll give her that. And
you know what? Like, like one thing, she, you know, she had a long amateur career. She hasn't had a lot of pro fights at this point. But I think one thing that where I slightly disagree with you, Zito, is she has fought and beat bigger opponents. So she doesn't truck everybody. But where I absolutely agree with you, where Clarissa shines is through her athleticism. And I got to say, she's very polished, too. You know what I mean? She's more polished, and she tends to always be sharper than whoever she's boxing because she is so polished and well-schooled.
Offensively.
But
offensively.
Offensively. She, and you know what? She's well-schooled because she does the right things defensively when she does them. She's just not as consistent defensively. And
because she's offensive-minded.
But
she commissions offensive-minded. She wants to use her athleticism.
You know how people
that's
are.
What I'm saying.
People,
well, I don't mean
people,
truck over, but she wants
everybody,
to use her athleticism.
Everybody's taught
too.
The wrong thing. Like, she was absolutely taught the right thing, but when she fights, she's not consistently defensively-minded because of her athleticism and her sharpness. And so what's going to happen, sharpness is obviously based on being polished. But the other thing, too, about sharpness, right, sharpness comes with speed and reaction time. And an athletically gifted boxer who tends to rely on that, as that athleticism wanes, they find that the punches quite aren't as sharp. They're not getting there as consistently. So I absolutely agree with you with the potential degradation in her skills once she comes out of her prime. Whether that's a little early, I don't know. She's 28. She looks great. I think the thing that concerns me more is not the damage. Yeah, the thing that concerns me more is not the damage she's taking in fights, even though she is taking the damage in boxing matches. But at this point, she's like 13 or 14. She's still like 13 or 14 and 0. What concerns me is the dual damage, the damage she's taking in MMA, the damage she's taking training MMA, along with training boxing. All those things put wear and tear on your body. I guarantee you, she couldn't go and box somebody the very next day or go boxing training the next day after an MMA fight because she had to rest her arm because it had to be sore. So that's what scares me about her potentially, her peak not being as long as it could be. That's the one drawback to me.
Yeah. So when we talk about her fighting, what's her name? I forgot. Oh, my God. Brazilian. Oh, my God. I don't understand why that's not my name. But
Cyborg?
Yes.
Cyborg?
When we talk about her fighting Cyborg, it has to be, like, if it's one, she's going to kill Cyborg. If it's the other, Cyborg is going to kill her. Like that, that there, you can't make it. Maybe we could cross section, but we can't MMA because like that's really unfair. Can't box them it because that's unfair.
Right.
Now, Cyborg, like they used to spar together and they used to really be good friends, and they stopped becoming friends once Cyborg somehow they had a falling out. Once Cyborg really kind of. Apparently, Clarissa says they had a falling out when she got to MMA. Cyborg says they had a falling out because she wants to box. But nonetheless, if that fight were to happen any time within the next 2 years, she's going to paintbrush Cyborg. I don't think she'll stop her, but she's going to paint, again, two-minute rounds, she's going to paintbrush her. She's too clean. Too sharp for that. And the other thing, too, is Cyborg is a big woman, but that's not a – Clarissa fought at like 160, like that's not a size. There's nothing Cyborg's bringing that Clarissa Shields hasn't seen. And I think that's where
not
people
boxing.
Get confused with these. Yeah, that's where people get confused with these boxing matches against MMA guys. There's nothing the MMA guy's bringing that the boxer hasn't seen. No different than a boxer trying to fight, you know, in MMA. I mean, they're different sports for a reason,
like,
gentlemen.
Yep, just like with Joshua and Ngannou, I saw a high-level professional fight a low-level amateur. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Zito, you know, when they made that fight, you and I got on the phone, and I was like, damn, Ngannou, because I knew he was going to get hurt. And I said to Zito, Right after I did
announce
the fight, I called Vito.
You said, we should bet money. That's what you said.
But he was just, yeah, Nagano was a dog. But, I knew he was going – not only did I know he was going to get beat, I knew he was going to get hurt because Joshua is not the kind of – he's not a play with you guy. And that was – yeah,
he's not capable.
Yeah, he doesn't have that. And he doesn't have that diverse skill set like Fury to where he can carry you. Joshua's not a carry you guy. Floyd Mayweather will carry you, Conor McGregor. Floyd Mayweather will carry you, Conor McGregor. Tyson Fury will carry you, Francis Ngannou.
Yeah.
Like Terry, like Dean said, Anthony Joshua will carry you out. It's a different mentality. Wrong guy for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, guys, we're just about up with our time limit here. I appreciate everything you did tonight. Come well prepared as always. Tony, you want to lead us out?
Yes, I'm glad I got a chance to be on with Ty and Z again. It's been a while. I love talking with you guys and picking your brains. Looking forward to the next couple of fights coming up in the next few weeks, and I hope everybody has a wonderful weekend and happy St. Paddy's Day, and we'll talk to you next weekend.
Great.
Z? Oh, man. I actually enjoy.
Hello?
Family? These shows are definitely... If you want us to hear any fighting words, please do call.
Hey, it was great being on with Tony, Butch, you, Butch, Zito. It was great talking to you guys. I'm not afforded the opportunity to be on as much as I used to or as much as I like just because I'm busy working, but always a pleasure talking boxing. Bob is our co-pilot. Coach Mel keeps watching over us. Dr. Chris keeps us laughing. Everyone, please have a wonderful, safe, and peaceful week.
I just want to, again, say thank you for all our guests, our guest host, and you guys did a great job again tonight, and you really make this a program that a lot of people listen to, and it's a joy every weekend to be on with you. Ladies and gentlemen, I wish if you could keep our two stars in your prayers and in your good and have good thoughts for Bill Berge. Everybody knows Bill is an all star, all pro bowler, and Hall of Famer from the Philadelphia Eagles. Bill is suffering right now with some major problems, and please keep a good thought for Mark Coleman. He's not only a tremendous not only a UFC fighter, but a tremendous hero in my eyes, saving his mom and dad. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get back and get his dog, but he did a great job. And I thought the first words when he woke up, when he found out his mom and dad were safe, was that he was glad that he was there. So we're glad that he's still with us. Ladies and gentlemen, the President is brought to each and every day of the week in grateful appreciation. The men of the United States Armed Forces, the men of our services, the doctors and nurses, and the first responders to COVID, and also the wonderful people at the supermarket to keep the shelves stocked. This program is dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffrey Polkap, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazwitz, Sergeant Thomas Bacher, San Diego Officer Mike Henley, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, Sergeant Tom Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman and Officer Kristen Lakeland PD, Patrolman Charlie Connett, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Police Department, Sergeant Chris Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Nathan Crispin, again, Lakeland PD, Deputy Josh Meyer, Newcastle County Sheriff's Department, Captain Mountain Turner, Philadelphia Fire Department. Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Artis Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. Lieutenant Jerry Fikas, Wilmington Fire Department. Chief Alford, Longwood Police Department. Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department. Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Trooper Joe Bullock, Florida Highway Patrol. Trooper Zachary Benn, Florida Highway Patrol. Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Police Department, and the Temple University Police Department. And Sergeant Ramon Mendez, Philadelphia Airport Police and Philadelphia Police Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the palm of his hand. Tonight, God bless and have a great St. Patty's Day. But please remember, if you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. See you again next week. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 is responding to his last emergency. May God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, Bob. We love you and we miss you.